in.
And we're in. We're here. Break for Frogger, Season 2, Episode 3. My name is Cameron Phillips. My throat probably won't allow me to do another Seth intro. And I'm here with...
Tom Oates.
And Jordy Al.
And due to the fixture list of the Brayhead Clan Ice Hockey Squad, Ewan Taylor is not here this evening. He is ably replaced by Mr. William Lockhart from Sonic's Ring.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well, yeah.
You're very well. It's a bit of a Sonic's Ring fest, actually, because obviously we had Dave in last month, and now we've got yourself.
Yeah, well, the playing field is thinning of available podcast stars, so...
It is a bit. I mean, we can't really have anyone else on, really, apart from reading your podcast for talent.
Well, if you can find talent there, you might as well take it.
Well, yeah, and we have indeed. We have indeed took it with both hands this evening. Thank you for stepping in at short notice.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm very excited to be on Break for Frogger.
Yes, so it seems we were on Sonic's Ring, like, all of 4 nights ago. But it was good fun.
Yeah, that was a fun record, that.
It was a good fun episode. Go to sonicsring.com if you've not heard that, me and Tom being on Sonic's Ring at the weekend. Right then, boys, we're going to get straight into it. And with the what you been playing section, which last month we restricted to one game because there was five of us on, and we'll try to keep it concise. But this week we'll just open it up and whatever the hell you've been playing. Will, you get to go first, seeing as you are the guest, my boy.
Oh, how nice. well, what's the time frame on this? Because, I mean, I'm not going to talk about every game I've been playing since I was last on Break for Frogger, because that would be every game I've ever played. But the game I'm playing the most right now is Assassin's Creed 2.
Now, I've had a blast of Assassin's Creed 2, mm-hmm. And without giving too many spoilers, what bit are you on?
Oh, I'm right at the end.
Yeah,
end. I've put 30 hours in. I've been doing
really?
all the side quests and stuff as well. I'm right at the end of the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, right, how are you finding that?
I'm really enjoying it, actually, because I'm one of those many, many people who I absolutely hated Assassin's Creed 1. I hated it. It was terrible. I really hated it. I really, really hated it. But you know what? I'm going to say this straight away. Assassin's Creed 2 doesn't look as good as Assassin's Creed 1. I mean, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. But it's not as visually stunning as Assassin's Creed 1 was. And it doesn't play as well either.
Does it not?
No, it doesn't. I mean, all right, the combat's a lot better. It's still a little bit dodgy, but it's just a lot better. The first one had this kind of one-button combat, which was just really frustrating. Every time you got into a fight, you kind of just had to run away and hide. And this one has that a little bit, but... The first one, I think it's because it was built in, like, these Middle Eastern sort of, you know, Crusade-era cities, like Acre and stuff, where in Jordan or whatever, and where the buildings were all square and the lines of running just seemed a lot more concise. In this one, you tend to be running along rooftops and suddenly he'll just leap off blindly into the water for no reason, and it doesn't control quite as well. I mean, the free-running aspect isn't quite as good as the first one. I mean, the first one... As a game, it looked and played brilliantly from that aspect. It really did. It just, you know, running around was brilliant. The problem was there was only three things to do, and you had to do them a multitude of times for each mission, and that just became really, really boring, really, really fast. This one's got a lot more variety, a lot more to do. The storyline, it kind of picks up from the first one, so I'm missing out a little bit as far as that goes. And obviously the whole Animus modern day thing is bullshit, and then you get into the world, and actually it's really good. It's actually one of the better examples of an open world game from what I've played, and I quite like those games.
Yeah, I've got to the... I think I'm just past the last of the when you go back to the villa with your uncle. So I'm pretty early on. You know, when it sort of starts opening up the whole architecture thing and, you know, using the money that you've gained to buy artworks and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, there's another game that's taken over Assassin's Creed 2, which I'll get to when it's kind of my turn. But I was enjoying it. I felt there was too much going on.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. No, I've not been playing anything else just now, so it's filled in the time nicely for me. I didn't buy it. My brother rented it from Love Film, and I'm borrowing it off him. We kind of swap our games over, you know, once we've played them. And yeah, he's got my copy of Deadly Premonition, because I couldn't get through that at all. I found it just dire, and I thought, you know, I'll give it a go, but I thought it was dire. But this is, yeah, it's really good. I love these open world games. I loved, like, Red Faction Guerrilla, and... I love Just Cause, just pure fun. I know there wasn't much to it. I hated GTA. I've never been a fan of the GTA games, especially the latest one. I thought that was terrible. But Yeah, this is good. It's like, it's weird, you know, because in the first game, you know how you had to climb these viewpoints like three or four times to do up to before you could move on to the next part of the mission. Now I tend to do it anyway, and it's like, my brother's like, you hated doing that the first time. It's like, yeah, I hated doing it because I had to do it. Now I don't have to do it. I like to have the choice, you know? And it's a great game for the achievement whore. Although, having said that, I don't know if you've noticed it, but have you done any of the sections which is like the Assassin's Tombs?
No, not yet.
Well, I have.
There's six of them in the game. Yeah, you know the ones, Tom. And they are the best sections of the whole game. I mean, they're like a Prince of Persia-style puzzly room level, you know, with like, figure out how to get from one side to the other, take out some bad guys. Some of them are timed. They're like the best parts of the game. So I've been really seeking them out and doing all of those as well. And also, you know, I've been trying to, you know, find all the glyphs because there's these weird sort of messages that have been hidden in history, like barcodes on the sides of buildings. And if you do that, you get a really, really bizarre code, like puzzle that you have to, you know, solve. And yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting. And the combat is a lot better than the last one. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot more sort of choices with the weaponry. You can throw sand in their face, you can disarm them, you can block, you can parry and all that stuff, and it's actually pretty cool. Plus the two-handed blade attack where you just walk up behind two guards and just stick them in the back of the neck, that's awfully, you know, awfully satisfying. I'm really enjoying it, I gotta be honest. It's a bit of a cracker. I'm really, really enjoying it, and I've just been putting off finishing it just to mop up a few extra stuff in the game, really. It's 7 thumbs up from me.
7 thumbs.
Yep. If I have, assuming I have 9 hands, 7 thumbs up. So 7 out of 9. That's the gold standard that I'm giving it.
That's how you review games, with thumbs.
No, the way I review games is how much I would pay for it. And if I
Is it better or worse than Dark Void?
Well, yeah, it's better than Dark Void. Although it's got the same voice actor. It's got Nolan North in it yet again, doing the voice of Desmond. And I love Nolan North. You know, obviously Drake's Fortune. He's the voice of Nathan Drake. Yeah, I mean, it is good. If I say that, what is it, £16 is the reasonable amount to pay for an obviously decent game, then this one's worth £19. That's how I do it.
So,
I'd pay slightly more than that. £16 for it. Didn't pay anything.
Fair enough.
See, I got a Twitter gobful off Perrin from Stage Clear last year at some point for having a similar concept with rating games, when I said that I wouldn't pay much more than £15 for Dragon Age.
Yeah, fair enough. I paid exactly £15 for Dragon Age, and it was worth every penny.
Yeah, same here. But Perrin was much unsatisfied with that.
Yeah, but Perrin, in fairness, has got a bit of cash, so, you know, it's different for him. He doesn't understand the value of money.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's too busy sending children down mines.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And working for British Aerospace and Halliburton.
That's what he used to do when he used to live up north. And now the police are onto him, and that's why he had to move to London.
Yeah, they found a selection of children's shoes under his bed, and he had to scarper.
Yeah, they did. He had to scarper. And then now he's holed up in London somewhere in some kind of part of the big city, hiding.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why he wears that beret all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great disguise in London, isn't it? You're so close to France.
Yeah, totally, because, you know, it's full of media wankers that wear berets like that, so, you know, might as well wear one too. Blending quite nicely. Anything else, Will?
There was one other game I want to talk about, okay, because I've not talked about it, I don't think, on any other podcast, and it was a cracker, okay, different reasons. I got this for £3. This is a wee while ago now I got it, but I've played it twice through. Wanted, Weapons of Fate, has anyone played that?
No, I haven't.
No?
Is this based on the movie?
Yeah, it's a direct sequel to the movie.
Alright, okay.
It follows on from the end, and I had never seen the whole movie until after I finished the game. I went and got the movie and watched that, and yeah, it's a pile of shit, actually. But the game is really good, right? It's got its flaws, but it's a decent action-adventure shooter, and obviously it's got the whole bending bullets mechanic in it, and it's done really, really well. I mean, really easy to control. You kind of just whip out the bullet, and then you sort of control your little sort of line of sight, a kind of a grey semicircle that kind of you can move around till you pick out your targets, and that works really well. There's all the slowing down time mechanics and all this stuff, and some great, really up-close, visceral sort of takedowns and things like that. It's over in about 3.5 hours. It's really short. Like, really short. But I paid £3 for it in HMV secondhand just after Christmas. And I played through it twice. I played through it normal, and then I played through it on hard, just because nothing to do with achievements, genuinely. This game was just that much fun and over so briefly. I just wanted to play it again. I lent it to my wee brother Kenny, who gave it back to me a week later, having played it 3 times. So that's the kind of game it is. Genuinely a really great game. And if you guys can get it for a few quid, or, you know, a tenner even, it's worth a tenner. I mean, obviously, if I'd paid full price for it, I'd have been fucking gutted, because it is so short. And the company who made it went out of business. I forget what they're called. They also did Bionic Commando, the remake. They're out of business. There won't be any sequels to it. But yeah, it's proper good, guys. Proper good. Proper good running, shooting, knocking guys over. And, you know, the storyline is actually better than the movie. It's got a really good twist at the end. It's good. It's really good. You guys should definitely check it out. It's really fun.
Has it got some badly digitized James McAvoy?
Yeah, actually, James McAvoy looks all right in it. Morgan Freeman, however, yeah. Looks more like Mr. T. His face, face is all filled out, and his like hair's kind of up in a... Yeah, he looks stupid, but he shouldn't really be in it. He's in. Obviously, if you've seen the movie, spoiler, he dies at the end. I watched the movie afterwards. It's got this ridiculous bit at the end where Angelina Jolie kills a room of guys by bending a bullet all the way around the room through each of their skulls, and then it comes back and kills herself. But it makes no sense plot-wise why she would want to kill herself. Like, she believes in this whole what they're doing, and she knows that it's evil, but she believes in it, so she decides to take everyone out. I mean, I get it. It's quite stylish. It's typical Mark Miller, but it's stupid. The game's not as stupid as that, but it is very short. It's really good, but it's really, really short. That's what we get a lot of these days, you know.
Right. Okay, and that's you done?
Mm-hmm.
Tom?
This kind of would have linked in nicely about 5 minutes ago as well, because we were talking about games that we wouldn't consider worthy of certain amounts of money. I've been playing one of them this month. I voiced this at the very end of Sonic's Ring, I believe. Marvel vs. Capcom 3. That disappointed me.
You say you really voiced badly. It. You kind of needed a couple of attempts to voice it, though, let's be honest.
Yeah, thanks, Will.
No,
thanks.
No problem, that's fine. Just...
Everybody picks on me, everybody. But yeah, that probably took up a vast space of my monthly time, actually. I've been trying to enjoy it. I was really disappointed by the single-player mode. Like, really disappointed by it. They claimed in the blurb leading up to its release that it had a robust single-player campaign mode.
My arse.
Yeah, my arse. Precisely. I mean... Seriously, it's like six fights and then some cop-out fight with Galactus at the end of it.
Which is ultimate cheap fest.
How the fuck do you fight Galactus, though? Is he in human form or something?
No, he's huge. He's just like, he takes up like one entire side of the screen, and if you jump, you can just about reach his neck.
So basically, and... you end up like with Iron Man just spamming the...
Yeah, you basically...
cannon attack to hit him. And...
Yeah, and that's it. And then he can... get like copies of the characters, like in look kind of like the Silver Surfer, made of like kind of shiny, silver.
Uh-huh. You know?
And then you fight them and get rid of them, and then whatever energy you've got left in that battle, Galactus comes and tries to get you himself. And you basically need someone in your team that can jump really high and do like massive combos to his face, that's about it. If you haven't got anyone that can do that, you're fucked, because he can basically slap his hands together and crush you in one blow.
Yeah.
Or he can sweep his arm and then knock you off this little kind of planet asteroid thing you're standing on.
Do you know what it reminds me a bit of? Is the final boss in Super Smash Bros. Melee on the GameCube. It was just a flipping, floating...
hand.
White glove, yeah. And that was a cop-out as well, in my opinion. But, you know... I was really disappointed with it. I was expecting it to be brilliant, given how good 2 was. But I think it really says something when... As you've said, Cam, a game that was made 10 years ago on a completely different generation of consoles can still... I know that's not an indication of anything, really, but the fact that this one that's based around the Street Fighter 4 engine and should, in all respects, be quite a decent fighting game based on its history...
Based on its pedigree, yeah. It would be. It's Capcom, man.
The characters, the roster's really unbalanced as well. We've discussed this.
Totally, yeah. I don't see any point in having Beautiful Joe or Zero or Arthur in there
Arthur's
at all.
Just ridiculous. And overpowered.
Hagar any good?
Hagar's all right in it, aye. He's quite good. He kind of takes the role of kind of like Incredible Hulk / Thor and all that kind of stuff. You know, the big heavies.
Is that Arthur from Ghouls and Ghosts, is it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Oh, right, I see. That's kind
of He's just kind of running around in his underpants chucking lances at people.
That's like their Dr. B then from Tekken 3, maybe.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, it's a vastly unbalanced game, and I struggled with it, to be honest. I know you've already traded yours in, haven't you?
I traded mine in and got like 30 quid's worth of Microsoft points, and have basically spent that on Need for Speed DLC.
Stands kind of a testament to just how obsessed with Need for Speed the Brick and Frog are.
Yeah, just how obsessed our camp is with
Three-fourths. Three-quarters of the Brick for Frogger camp has become...
obsessed by that game, really. But there you go. Anything else, Tom?
Other than Need for Speed, which we've mentioned before, I shall just continue to say that I have been ploughing, well, as you know, I've been ploughing on with Vanishing Point, the particular track.
Yes, I hate you.
On there. Yes.
Everything you stand for.
Cameron and I have a...
Your family, your country, your face.
hey, insulting.
It's supposed to be. How bloody dare you?
You'll beat me again one day.
Probably, yeah. I just like the fact that we're both trying to compete with each other on Vanishing Point, but we're both ahead of Fury.
Yep.
Which is just...
It's that little bit of satisfaction.
It's that little bit of satisfaction.
Come on, guys, I've not played it, and I'm ahead of Fury. Yeah.
Oh, no. We had a game with him the other night, and he was just like... basically, it was me, Ewan, and Tom, and him. And in one game, he went the sole police officer, and we went three racers, and he still fucking caught up with us.
Oh, he just obliterated the entire
team. It was just a mass level of miscommunication between the three of us, and then it basically just kind of rounded us all up one after another. And it was awful. It was just an embarrassment.
I did have the frustration of having, like, a four-minute race. Well, we all had the four-minute race, but Ewan had kind of got into a scuffle back and were about 12 seconds behind. But I kept up with Fury through the entire race, only in the last straight to have him nudge me into a wall.
Yeah.
And then speed off to the finish.
He's a sly little man like that. He's a sly little man.
If you ever have a foot race with him, he'll do that to you then as well. Guaranteed.
He probably would.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Other than that, and I'm not going to go into it too deep because we've been there so many times before, and I'm the only person from Break for Frogger who plays this game, but I have been playing Minecraft again this week just because I have a new person I can play with. Al's housemate. I've been playing with Al's housemate.
Scarswell, who you may remember from the last season of Break for Frogger, playing Saul in the background.
He plays it an awful lot.
Does he?
Yes.
It's funny you should say that, because when you mentioned Need for Speed, I was thinking that Need for Speed is like your Minecraft, this podcast Minecraft, but you have a Minecraft already, so...
Yeah, we've got someone who plays Minecraft. I've got to admit, though, when I come around your house and you're saying, I can show you my latest Minecraft little kind of landscape thing, it's interesting. It's quite good, especially when you're blowing shit up with TNT the other night.
Oh, yeah. TNT's fun.
That was cool. I'm going to pack this side of this mountain with TNT and obliterate half of it. It was quite smart.
I just chose to stay away from it. The minute I heard about it, the minute I saw it in action, I just made a conscious decision at that point never to go near Minecraft. And I think my life is better because of it.
Is that because... You think you'd have the same problem as a lot of people do, and it becomes quite a addictive.
Yeah, absolutely. Thing. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's just not enough hours in the day. I've got too many interests, and I just have to pick and choose which ones. That's why I don't play MMOs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's why I haven't been playing MMOs and things as well. But the trouble is, under Dave's coercion, shall we say, I got stuck into Minecraft, and it's hard to leave alone.
He's an enabler. I don't know how he manages it. He's the same. He's got so many interests, so many things that he does. I don't know how he puts in the time to play Eve and Minecraft.
Well, I think Dave is like a master of all time. I think he actually stretches hours.
I think he's got clones of himself. Provide different reasons.
Which one's married Denise then?
Well, if we're thinking about that movie, Multiplicity, it'll be the gay one that wears the polo shirt under his top. That'll be the one that's getting married, I reckon.
Awful bloody film.
What we'll discover is actually there's actually like MIDI 1 to 2303.
MIDI Mark 1, that's interesting.
Nice. There's actually about 2,300 clones of Dave. We actually only know one of them.
An army of Dave. To misquote Bjork.
They've got a short lifespan, so they only make it to the end of one Sonic's Ring record. We have to unwrap a new one each episode.
So what's going to happen when you reach like episode 2,304?
I tell you what, it's costing us a fortune in scientific fees. It really is.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I've had to wait.
Do you and Phil have to keep reminding him of what he's on the planet Earth for?
Oh, no, they keep the last one's memories. Yeah, it's very
right. What's his house going to be like? All these kind of dead copies of himself lying around the place.
His back garden, I tell you. A lot of graves.
Yeah. Well,
my brain's just drifted off to the film Moon there. Slightly.
Maybe, Someone once won that on Blu-ray.
Yes.
What's that?
Someone won Moon on Blu-ray.
That was me.
Yes, I know.
Oh, sorry, right. Yeah, I won Moon on Blu-ray. That's true. About 3 months after I won that, Mentasm just handed it to me at ConCon. Do you remember last year?
Oh, God. I was like, oh, yes, we did.
Just handed it to me, yeah. Good film, that. Nice Blu-ray to have.
Oh, excellent. Right. Al.
Well, I haven't been doing much this month, actually.
You've been very quiet.
I mean, too much. Me Black Ops addiction's worn off now.
Has it?
Yeah, I mean, I still play it a bit, but no idea. Not till 6 in the morning, I don't do that no more.
I did notice that you were looking more awake in work these days.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that. Well, if I get back into it, I might play it a bit more. But no, I've been achievement whoring a little bit on some arcade games, such as Turtles, as you know, and X-Men Arcade, which is easiest game to get achievements on.
What, easier than Avatar?
Maybe not that easy, but still quite easy.
Right.
Well, I should have brought my thing. I could have showed you X-Men. It would have been amusing for a 10-minute game. You could pretty much get all the achievements, and I enjoyed playing that. That's been quite good this month. Sonic 2, I did a few achievements on, but I haven't done the one in an hour.
No?
No, I attempted it, failed a bit, and couldn't be asked to go back on it. So. And apart from that, I've been on Wii. I've been at Newcastle, so I've been playing my Wii for a bit. I've been trying Wii Bowling. I know it's the most basic of games, but I quite enjoy it.
It's not as basic as Venetian blinds, surely.
No, I'm glad you brought that one up, because I've done a bit of research.
All right, okay, go on.
It turns out that game was solely made. It's just a sort of stick-it to Atari. It was a dispute between Atari and the programmers about recognition and the rest of it. And they tried to sue these programmers who went off to make another company. I can't remember what the name was.
Venetian Blinds?
No, you're not going to help me out. Yeah, I think it was not Activision.
Activision,
yeah. Oh, yeah, Activision kind of sprung out of a tie.
They tried to sue them for taking away this revolutionary technology with them. So the programmers mocked up those Venetian blinds to sort of take the piss out of them, going, "What, you're trying to sue us for making a set of blinds?" Pretty much is what they come about with Venetian blinds.
So Activision's first game was Venetian blinds?
It wasn't even a game, it was just like a demo, whatever.
Next year, Venetian Blind Hero is coming out.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be, you know, Blind Hero. That sounds bizarre. Yeah, selling blinds and then, like, turning them up and, you know, flipping them around. That'll be amazing.
So, if, like you say, I don't understand why you can download Venetian blinds for the arcade, because I don't imagine it gets any excited than the demo.
Probably because Activision actually still make money out of it.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And Bobby Kotick's sitting there going, "Yeah.
Every penny counts."
Every penny counts. Doesn't matter if it's Black Ops or Venetian Blinds.
I suppose so.
Black Venetian Blinds.
I used to fit Venetian blinds in an old job I had.
Really?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And that was really fucking boring, so I can't imagine what the game was like.
Where was this?
I worked at a builder's merchant a long time ago, 8-9 years ago, up in Skye. I used to mix paint and I used to go to people's houses and fit their blinds and things like that. Yeah.
Right.
Did that for a while. Yep.
On the wonderful streets of Portree?
Well, all over the island, really. Yeah. Whatever.
Really? Well, oh, Dunvegan as well.
No, I never fitted blinds in Dunvegan. I did in Glendale once. See this? This guy knows his Skye.
I know my Skye, pal. I know my Skye. I've been there. Can't you see the twitch?
Yeah. No, once you go Sky, you never go back, that's for sure.
You never go back, yeah, because they'll charge you to get across the fucking bridge of the way back as well.
Not anymore. They stopped that.
No, not anymore. To be fair to them, the toll booths have been taken down. It is free to go to Sky now and go, because it's a lovely, lovely, gorgeous place.
Yeah, it is a nice place, yeah.
It is fantastic. How have we got to this tangent? Welcome, that was a broadcast from the Skye Tourist Board. Come to our island, go to the north, see the mighty Angus MacCaskill. Anywho, what have I been playing? Are you finished now?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry,
yes.
I'm kind of interrupting, I'm kind of going, I'm giving the quick tourist information of Skye and I'm not even checked that you're done.
Are we sponsored now then?
We are sponsored by the Tourist Information Board of Skye, that's why Will's here.
Well, we're not sponsored by McDonald Brothers, who I worked for, because they're out of business now, so...
Are they out of business?
Yes, they're out of business.
Is that why you don't work? Did you have to leave before that? Or is
it was years after I left, they went out of business. Don't worry.
Well, I think it's because they missed you, Will.
Must have been.
No one, baby. No one mixes paint like you do.
I used to love mixing the paint, by the way. It was the most zen experience I ever had.
I could just see you in a little white coat on, just kind of mixing stuff together, going, "Ah, we've reached puce green!"
And you know that episode of The Simpsons where Bart puts the can of beer inside the paint mixing thing?
Aye.
I never did that.
Oh, well, fair enough. I thought it was a great anecdote coming
did.
There.
I bet you did.
And I thought it was going to be fantastic. And then we painted Mrs. Jenkins' walls with it.
You weren't tempted on April Fool's Day to do it, no?
No, that's true. That's coming up soon. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. that's what he did in the episode, and put his dad in hospital or something, didn't it?
He blew up the entire building. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got Al started on The Simpsons. Oh, God. Let's move on quickly.
That's better than the fucking Isle of Skye, isn't it?
Oh. Who would win in a fight between the Isle of Skye and The Simpsons?
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah, we should get Deadliest Warrior into that one.
Yeah, who'd you have representing Skye? Probably that guy who had all the leopard skin tattoos.
Yeah, I've seen him about. Yeah, I've seen him about quite a few times.
I remember reading a few years ago he'd actually started living. I say living normally. That sounds offensive to his previous.
Well, he lived in a cave before that, so it's not that offensive.
No, not really. But he'd gone back to like living normally and was
got a council
shopping
flat,
away in co-op.
Yeah, he got a council flat.
Did he? Is that all he'd been doing? Was that all he was waiting on, was council flat?
No, I don't think he was waiting on it. I think they made him move in the council flat. Yeah.
Well, just walking out going, get out the fucking
well,
cave.
I don't think a gyro check can say, you know, one cave, Kailakin, you know. I don't know. I don't know what his relationship with the Department of Work and Pensions is. I want to say that out now for anyone who's listening. I don't know.
No, we don't know, and we can't possibly decry him. If he listens to a podcast whilst he's eating his raw meat, we'd like to just say hi.
Yeah.
Is that where Bin Laden's been in all these years?
Yeah, he's been on Skye too. Yeah, but never mind. What have I been playing? As I was saying earlier, I was playing Assassin's Creed 2, like Will was, but it's kind of been, as good as Assassin's Creed 2 is, it's been kind of overridden by one game I bought for £15. So that's on the money scale.
Yeah,
£15 is well worth it for this game, and that game is Singularity, which came out, I think it was down as August last year. Everyone ignored it, and no one really bothered with it, and it just kind of faded into obscurity. But it is absolute class. I've heard it described to me as a first-person shooter, which is like Back to the Future in Soviet Russia. And to be honest, minus a DeLorean car, it's not far off the mark.
I played Singularity when it first came out because it came to me from Boomerang Rentals.
Boomerang Rentals, didn't it? Yeah, I remember you having it.
And I enjoyed it. And again, they were kept on offering me to purchase it from them, but they were offering it like £35 at the time.
I wouldn't pay £35.
No, I wouldn't pay £35 for it. But I got stuck about 6 hours in on a fairly big boss, which I could probably handle now because it's quite similar to some of the ones I've been fighting in Dead Space, so it's probably not all that difficult to get past now. But that's my experience of it. It's a very good game. You know, interesting FPS. Bit of a slant from some other titles, inspiration from some other titles.
Oh yeah, it definitely takes its cues from a lot of first-person shooters and like its story mode. It's very, very, very Bioshocky. And that sounds like an insult. I'm not kind of saying, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's just like Bioshock, it's ripping it off. Because it does have its own little kind of mechanics to it. The main one being the time device that you get. Because it's basically there was, Russia had a testing island to wage war against the West. They discovered a new element called E99 and they researched it. And one of the main things it does, it enables time control. Which they were going to unleash as a weapon until the whole island exploded and created lots of monsters and a time rift. So you can actually walk up to like soldiers and stick your hand out and they will age before you and crumble and die. And it's one of the best things ever. You can stop using your gun and just kind of run through places, just kind of going, I'm going to make you really fucking old and frail. And then it's going to go, wah, like that, and it just kind of, and then they go, oh, it's not the story, like, and then they just kind of, and then their bones kind of crumble and drip, and then it's like, and then they're dead. It's great.
Is it like the scene out the Holy Grail, Indiana Jones and Last Crusade at the end? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know, similar idea. Yeah. I know the one you mean. It's a very, very similar idea. But the story mode is class. It's really atmospheric. I'd say the weaponry's quite smart. And the other bizarre thing is, as I discovered the other night, there's still randoms playing it on multiplayer on Xbox Live. Which is bizarre. I just walked into a room and when you think everyone ignored it, there'll be no one playing this. I got a full multiplayer game going with randoms just by matchmaking.
I'm quite surprised by that, to be
honest.
Yeah,
so was I. I was there kind of thinking I'll be waiting ages and it'll be rubbish and there'll be like two people. No, there's like eight of us all kind of running around, kind of aging people and, you know.
How does it work on multiplayer then? Is it good on multiplayer?
It is quite good. It is like basically like deathmatch stuff and usual kind of capture the flag and that kind of stuff, but you've got all the weapons that are in the story mode. Like the TMD and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, awesome.
And it's so it is quite cool for that reason.
Sounds it.
And it's also smart, as I say, that there's still people playing it. Most of them Americans, but you can mute. So it's all okay.
Oh, it's Halo all over again.
Yeah, pretty much. There you go. But that's what I've been playing. Alongside the usual kind of Need for Speed. And I downloaded Braid last night.
I've had minimal experience with Braid, if I'm honest.
I have currently had minimal experience of Braid, but I found it quite good.
Yeah, I've got Braid on the PS3. It's kind of pretentious, isn't it? But
there's an element to that when you're walking through and it's kind of like this massive kind of like, and then she walked away, her braids flowing in the flowing wind. But what is time? What can we gain from
exactly.
this? Surely it is better to learn from the, and it's just a bit kind of, right, okay. But it is like Super Mario mixed with Prince of Persia.
Yeah, it's interesting how the sort of time reversing element is actually used. You know, certain things you can change won't reverse in time the same way. Like you can grab a key, for instance, you know, that little sort of puzzle device. It's actually quite interesting.
And it's like good working out the mechanics and all that kind of stuff.
I can't get through it though, Cameron, to be honest. I tried like 3 or 4 times and I just can't seem to, it doesn't seem to grab me to sort of want to sit and finish it. I like it. It's interesting and it looks really nice and it's got great music. I don't know. It doesn't make me want to play it too much.
No.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. I want to play it, but I don't want to play it.
Right. I enjoyed my little half hour blast of it last night, but obviously that was only half hour.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of blasted my way through the first world on it and then kind of got sort of a few levels in the second. I still didn't find all the bloody jigsaw pieces. The only thing I would say against it is I'm not quite sure why I'm having to go through all these worlds and make jigsaw pieces and make jigsaws out of them. But I'm assuming that some answer will come from
this. It's very unsatisfying as well that you can't get all the pieces the first time round.
Can you not?
No, you got to go back and do the levels again to get some of the pieces. It's kind of annoying because you kind of want... I'm one of these people that likes to clear a level before I move on, you know?
Oh, right. Because I was going back to world one and then trying to clear it. So I'm glad you kind of mentioned
that. Well, you might be able to at the point you're at, I don't know, but certainly initially you can't. You can't just do world one and get all the puzzle pieces. It doesn't work that way. You have to keep working through it and then going back and stuff. So, yeah, it's weird.
Right. Is it a bit like the catchphrase, super cash prize? Can you actually get the answer to each world's jigsaw by not collecting all the pieces?
Not sure. Not sure about that. I haven't played it enough, to be honest. I haven't actually collected all the pieces in any level yet, so I couldn't really answer that.
Does Roy Walker pop up and just say what you see?
Yeah, no, he's a spent force these days. It's a shame, really, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
No, man. No, that's a shame.
Well, Mr. Chips, is he still around?
Mr. Chips is now Bender.
He's living in a cave in Kailakan with that leopard guy.
Yeah, he's living in a cave with Kailakan. He's got like leopard skin tattoo.
The famous episode of Monk and the Snake.
Yeah, the Snake Charmer. That's a great one.
that creased myself.
I saw that on YouTube recently, and Susie showed me another video that was next to it, which was like when the word cunt flaps came up on Countdown.
I've seen it.
And you know what?
You are kidding me.
One of the guys, you know what word he had? Flap. Not what? Flaps. Flap. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Because if he adds an S, it just makes it rude.
You know, I've got an interesting Countdown story. When me and my mate were like 17, we used to, this is a bit embarrassing, but we used to get like a little bit stoned and watch TV during the day. And you know how we used to participate in watching Countdown? We would try and guess which letter they were going to pick out next. I swear to God, he got like 6 in a row once, right? And he still brags about it to this
constant
day.
Constant, please.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know, real skill involved in that game.
Yeah, marijuana, kids.
I know. But yeah, he gets the word regiments. That's a full 9-letter word. The people on the panel didn't get it. Regiments. Fucking amazing.
Jesus
he still
Christ.
Brags about that too. He's lucky I was there to verify his findings.
Yeah, totally.
In your own dictionary corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Your own dictionary corner.
We used to sit there and point the TV and go... C! A! It's pathetic. Totally pathetic.
At the time, did he think he had some brilliant mind control?
It was just a guessing game, essentially, you know.
I am reading Vorderman. Oh, no.
Countdown.
Oh, shall we move on, gentlemen? I think we shall.
Let's.
This month we take on Batman Arkham Asylum. I find myself thrust in the morgue as Batman. I've just been doused up with what I'm told is psychedelic juice from Scarecrow, and I've just found a dead Commissioner Gordon who I now have to seek vengeance for. Oh my god, okay, all the morgue doors are opening and closing. I can't get into them and hide, which is a shame, because that would be my first port of call. Oh, shite! That one's got things coming out of it. Where's Scarecrow? I really don't like him. He scared me in the movie. Cillian Murphy had a weird accent and strange glasses. Okay, so I'm running up, I'm looking in the different morgue-y places, whatever they're called. Morgue holes. Morgue holes?
I don't think they're called morgue holes.
No, that sounds like a bit like that thing from Gremlins. Mogwai, that's it. He's not a Mogwai. And I can't open the door. Where? I can't get out. Everything's flapping about. Oh, I opened the door. Oh, I'm back in the morgue. Ah. This is clearly a freaky reverse morgue. Okay. This one's got body bags. Oh, there's my dead father. For a dead guy, he's got a really brightly coloured tie. And just, okay, who are next? Oh, mother! Oh, Jesus Christ. You're already dead. You can't tell me not to let you die. And I'm going to be in the third bag, aren't I? This is going to be gross. Why would I... am I meant to go? Oh, holy crap, I'm in some sort of giant rainy morgue outdoors. Can I jump if I press A? Will that get me anywhere?
You've got to run and jump.
Oh, I don't like running. Jump! I jumped! I made it. And we'll run and jump again. Oh, I really ran off the thing! Run! Jump! And run and jump! Yay, I made it! Oh god. Okay, there's the bat symbol in the sky, and there is... I've got something, some sort of fit. Oh my Jesus Christ, it's like Edward Scissorhands, but with a hood and laser eyes. When did Scarecrow get laser eyes? And he's emaciated. I mean, seriously, that boy needs to eat some food. Oh god, okay, I'm guessing the...
Don't let him see you.
Okay, run, why don't you run, Bruce? That's it, hide behind there. This is the first one, I'm hoping this will be pretty easy. We'll wait behind this wall. No, don't be seen. Run. What's crouch?
Right trigger.
Right, crouch, stay crouch. Oh, I don't like your world, your world's freaking terrifying. Jump! Climb! Don't climb! God, don't climb! Jump! Climb! Hang! Don't! No, you git! Jump! I'm dead. Oh my god, he's gonna slice me! He sliced me! Okay, now it tells me to hide from his gaze. I don't like him. When is he gonna start me from?
The start of the mystical bit, since you didn't get very far.
I got pretty far.
You got round one corner.
I got round two. And I shush. Okay, Batman has his cape, and he's running really fast. Run, Batman! See, I made it so much further that time. Okay. Don't get up, you stupid bat. Stay where the hell you are.
You do realise you're controlling him?
No, he has a mind of his own. I am merely a pawn. Run! You're going to die! You died.
No, you threw him down a ravine.
This is going to take me longer than the 5 minutes I have, folks, so I hope you've enjoyed hearing me be terrified in a month. If you've got any suggestions for games I can play, which you want to put to the boys, which might scare me, I've already heard Fear, and that doesn't sound good. And apparently I've got to play Alan Wake at some stage, but a good bit, so we'll see how that goes. But for this month, that's it. And can I just say happy birthday to Cameron as well? Toodle pip. Bye.
On to Geordie Allen's Retro Games Emporium, or GARG, as it's known when we do the edits. And Alan, as of about 20 minutes ago, wasn't quite sure what he was going to do.
Well, so. In fact, Cameron, I think I may have changed my mind again.
Oh, Christ.
No, because there's a game I've done a lot of research on.
Right.
And I don't think I mentioned it on here.
Right.
So I'm going to do it now, that all-time classic, E.T. for the Atari.
Oh no, he didn't.
What? Oh yeah, he did.
This is the one that the Angry Video Game Nerd refuses to review. Because it's too obvious.
Really?
Yeah, he just won't do it. He won't do E.T. Everyone keeps asking him to, but... Do you guys watch that show, no?
I've watched a couple of them.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it.
Not loads.
I quite like it.
No, I don't blame you for liking it. That's fine. You can do as you wish. I had a big thing for Zero Punctuation for a long time.
Yeah, I still watch that, but then, I don't like it anymore.
No, I know what you mean. Because it's basically, you can underline his opinion with pretty much, this game is shit. It's not Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, or Portal. I get you.
Yeah, that's it. That seems to be the two pinnacles of gaming experience he wants to have close to his heart, and then won't.
I'm very interested to know what Al thinks of this game, though, actually, being a veteran.
Go on, then.
Well, apparently the story goes, I don't know if you know, but I'll just quickly recap it, that Atari was trying desperately to get rights for E.T. because they thought it was going to be this amazing game, and paid Christ knows how much to finally get the rights, would insist it to be pushed out for Christmas. So when everything got settled, the programmers had 6 weeks to make it. 6 weeks. Now, to be fair, I reckon I could have done a better job in 6 weeks. Yeah, six weeks, right? Uh-huh. So, apparently the creator says he thinks he captured the element of the film very well in it.
Right, I've seen screenshots of this.
Honestly, it is ridiculous.
You can tell it's E.T. though, yeah. In fairness.
Accept he's like, is it green or white? He's the wrong colour. But he's got this like stretchy neck ability that makes him float. Yeah. And apparently, there's a very shit version of the theme song on at the start.
It's kind of
That's Jurassic Park, mate. Cameron.
Is it? Oh, never mind. It won't be that then.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, I know the one you mean.
So apparently the plot of the game is you go around and you've got to collect bits of an intergalactic telephone so E.T. can phone home.
The silence is...
There's more to it than the game. Now, you're not being fair, because you get whisked off to that weird area where you have to find your way out. You get chased around by a guy every so often.
You do. This guy chases you and picks you up and then goes puts you in a house somewhere. And then you keep falling down holes, which seems to just randomly appear out of nowhere. And you just keep falling down a hole for no reason whatsoever. And then using your stretchy neck ability to float out the hole by making some bizarre sound effects going out.
Have you been playing this on the actual Atari 2600, or have you been playing an emulator?
No, the emulator bollocks. I wouldn't do the... to be fair, I had an Atari 2600, but I didn't have E.T. with it, and I sold it to GameStation for 30 quid.
Oof.
Oops. When was this?
1979,
I'm thinking,
ago.
At that price.
No, I reckon 07, I think it was.
Really?
Yeah, I found it in my cupboard. It wasn't one of my favourite consoles. I think I picked it up secondhand.
It's my first console, actually.
And I just went in and in fact, I rang them up because it was in Newcastle, and I thought, I can't be asked to bring it all the way over to Carlisle, I'm not going to sell it. And the guy went, yeah, we're interested in that. It still has box and instructions and that, so just... Took it along, it had 8 games. One of them was Star Wars Duel, which was another pile of bollocks. And the guy said, we'll give you 30 quid for it. I thought, fair enough. I might, don't know if I could get more on eBay for it now, but at the time it was just clogging up the house. I thought that'll do nicely. I wasn't a great fan of Atari. I think it was incredibly basic, to say the least.
Well, that's not the most basic. This is a true story. But a month ago, I was at my grand's delivering some, that's more than a month ago now, delivering some Christmas gifts from Christmas, and that she pulled out a wee head bag from a cupboard that belonged to my uncle, and she said, do you want this? It's some video games. I'm like, of course I want it. It was an Acetronic 2000 from 1978, I think it was, actually, before I was born. And it's a Pong machine, essentially. Just a Pong machine. One of the paddles didn't work. Half the games didn't work, which didn't really matter because they were all Pong.
Yeah. I think I've had one. Are they called different names, but they're all variations of
paddle ball, wiffle ball, and then there's like soccer and things. And it was one of these ones that tennis, actually came with a plastic sheet you would stick on the TV to replicate the field of play.
Oh, genius.
I know, it's a very clever idea, actually. A nice green football field or a green tennis court or whatever, or a green basketball court. But it doesn't have them, sadly. It's just the machine and the really weird cabling. Took me a while to get it going on my HD telly, but I've got it working, which you can't do with a fucking Dreamcast, might I add. So yeah, that was weird. But yeah, I played that for 4 minutes before I realised gaming has moved on a lot. Even the 2600 is pretty much unplayable now.
Even some Nintendo games, I think, dated. I'd still do Super Nintendo and N64, but I think some original Nintendo games now just look a bit naff.
That's a fair point, I think.
I'm trying to think of any that would hold out.
Mario 3, still.
Oh yeah, Super Mario 3 on the NES. Do you remember Solstice?
Yes. No. That's the start of it. It may not surprise you. No, it's Cameron. I have this game.
Do you have this?
Yes, I've got this.
Right.
The wizard on the front.
Yeah. I just remember that just because it was quite sort of unique at the time from this whole sort of isometric thing going.
Yep.
And I remember being in school and I had to explain to someone. I was like, no, it's all isometric. And someone went, what? I just went side on. Kind of pointed diagonal. I don't know why I should mention that, but that's one of the distinctive ones, now.
I'll mention another quick one. North and South. I don't know if anyone played that. I've heard of it.
Heard of it, but I don't think I ever played it.
It really is a good game. It's a Civil War. And you can choose the Confederates or the US. And it's brilliant. It's like cavalry and... It's strategic. It's quite a basic strategic game, but it's still really good. You've got to rob people's trains and monies and capture the bases and basically win the war.
Aye.
It's quite good. I've got that knocking around. You could get it for quite a few consoles. But I'll quickly finish off with two last points. I'll quickly finish off my E.T. one by the urban legend. I don't know how true this is, but the urban legend is E.T. did so badly. There was all these unsold copies. And they're in the landfill site somewhere. Is it like a million copies in the landfill site in the Nevada desert?
That's true, actually, Al. That is true.
Because I did read it, and I wasn't sure if it was one of them urban legends or not. So I think, and if we ever go to Nevada, we could do a bit digging and get some back. No one up for that?
Well, they wouldn't be much good to you because they stripped them out for the plastic and they just buried all the chips, essentially.
Oh, yeah. That's disappointing.
It was 2 million copies. Well, they made 12 million copies, but they'd only sold 6 million.
It was very low, wasn't it? It was ridiculous what they did. They're such a good game as well, I'm surprised.
And it's supposed to have kicked off the crash, of course, that happened in the early 80s.
Yeah, because they spent all that money producing it, and it nobody bought it, so they really got debts from it, and everyone reckons that it was Atari's. Kind of,
you know, that's not actually true either. It was the second best selling game of the year, apparently. It's just like Shenmue. I mean, Shenmue sold really well, but it could never sell well enough, and it lost.
I suppose that Christ knows how much they must have paid for the movie license in the first place.
Oh, it was like 10 million or something stupid like that. It really was.
It was.
It's there, yeah. That's a phenomenal amount.
It's and I mean, you know, if you're going to spend £10 million on something, you'd expect to let them have longer than 6 weeks to knock something out. You know, 6 weeks. And he comes up with this ridiculous, ridiculously shit game. And he wonders, you know, I mean, oh my lord. So yeah, but another quick point is my Retro Games Emporium. I found kind of a real Retro Games Emporium in Newcastle Town Centre.
Oh, you were telling me this.
Yeah, it's in the Granger Market, if anyone's ever... in Newcastle to check it out, and it's quite a small shop, but you'll find games for most consoles there, including the Atari, but no copies of E.T., because I looked.
Sorry, it was sponsored by two companies now.
Yes, it's the Sky Tourist Board and this place in the Granger Market in Newcastle.
I can't remember what it's
called. We need to get money somehow. It's either that or sell our bodies.
They ain't
worth much.
He does have
pay for itself.
Pitfall in, which apparently is quite a good game for the Atari.
I remember them updating Pitfall for the Super Nintendo.
That was a cracker, by the way. That was a cracking game.
Was it?
Really, really nice animated 2D platformer. I really enjoyed it. I had that one years ago.
No, I don't know. I'd only heard of it. I never actually touched
it. Kind of an Uncharted of its time, really.
Of course. It would have been, yeah.
He's got Atari, Game Gear, Game Boy, Master System, Mega Drive, Xbox 360, PS1, PS2, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, N64, and probably some more.
I don't know why you're bragging. I've got all that shit at home as well.
Well, I'm just
have you got a stall in the Granger Market?
Exactly. No,
in various houses all over the country, there's boxes and stuff like that all over the place. You know, Amiga's boxed up and all sorts of old consoles and stuff just everywhere, yeah.
Well, why don't you open a shop like this guy?
I don't know. I never intended to part with them, never intended to play them again. They're just storage, isn't it? When you move away from home, it's the sort of stuff that stays in your mum and dad's loft.
Yeah, mine would have stayed in my mum's loft had she not flogged my NES.
Yeah, dark days.
Yeah, with my 50-odd games I had.
And the game that should never be named.
Exactly. And the game that should never be named, which I'll still have my save on it somewhere.
What was the guy called? Go on, tell us what his name was.
What, in the game that shall not be named? Yeah,
his name, I can't remember what it was.
Commander Jameson.
Commander Jameson, that's the one, yeah.
But you could change Jameson to whatever the hell you wanted.
Oh, you just stuck with Jameson, did you?
I probably had some, I can't even remember now, I had something stupid that I'd call him, like Commander Bork or something like that, or...
Bojaws and Big Knob,
or whatever it is. Yeah, I probably in my immature kind of teenage years, well, pre-teenage years, I was kind of going,
Commander
really
Frankie
funny.
Says relax.
Yeah, bro.
I want to know what game this is. Not being in.
Hold on. Hold on. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you've mentioned it before.
There we go. Right. So just as long as we know, the message is put across to everyone, and we'll never talk about it again.
All right then. So I'll just sort of give that guy a plug. I bought an N64 controller for him for £8.
Fantastic.
Not just going anywhere and getting N64 controllers anymore.
Well, from right, have this one, Dave. From one example of tremendous customer service in the game shop to a segment which has kind of accidentally come to fruition due to game. Are giving terrible service from the game shops. Oh, what a segue. Oh, what a segue. That is a segue worthy of Sonic's Ring, surely. No. Right. Anyway, we didn't honestly set out at the start of Season 2 of Bait for Frogger and sit there and go, I'll tell you what we'll do. Every month we'll have a section where we slug off game. Tee-hee-hee-hee-hee. But genuinely, as of this moment, every one of us every month has had... At least one of us a month have had a crap sort of situation in a game store at some point in that month. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just indicative anyway.
I don't know
how
why.
It's all going down the pan, but that's an entirely different situation.
Yeah. Well, my situation was I was on my lunch break a couple of weeks ago, and okay, it was half term. Now, throughout all of this, I understand. It was half term, so game shops are obviously going to be a little bit busier than what they are usually. So game is just around the corner from our work in Carlisle, and the idea was I was going to go and buy a copy of Kane and Lynch 2, pre-owned, if I could find one, because Fury had said that it was absolutely amazing and fantastic, and we should play it online, because there's a thing in it called Fragile Alliance, which basically mimics like the start of Dark Knight, in that you're supposed to team up and do a bank raid, but you can't actually shoot all the members of your team to get a bigger slice of the pie at the end, but obviously the game then gets harder because there's less of you, kind of thing. So it's that balancing act all the way through, and apparently it's brilliant. So I was like, all right, okay, I'll take that for a punt. So I walked into game, and I was lucky enough, it was absolutely packed, and I was lucky enough to actually find a copy for like £7. So I joined the back of this queue. Now there are two tills operating at game on that fateful day, and both of them at that case were, you know, at that time were currently occupied by small wee sprogs giving away every single PS2 game they've ever had for like 50p a throw in order to try and put down, like, get scraped together the £10 to put down a deposit for a 3DS, I would guess, in both cases. And I know it's not game's fault, but in this queue, behind me, I had two... Absolutely. You know how you, as a gamer, you're trying to avoid being a stereotype? So you're trying to avoid being the sort of sweating, stinking, fat bastard sitting there going on about, well, this is all this, that, and next thing, and then Nintendo are part of the shit. But no, these two guys behind me were the gaming stereotype. A, they stank. B, their social skills were somewhat questionable. And C, they were basically trying to display their gaming opinion to the world at large, but no one gave a flying fuck what they were thinking. Because I'm overhearing this conversation, because this queue was taking ages, And then all I could hear was them try to basically say that Nintendo have not released anything good since Mario 3.
Well, it's a good job I wasn't in that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
you'd have fucking braid them. But they were sitting there kind of going, no, Nintendo haven't released anything because Mario 64, although it was like good for like camera stuff, it was a bit of a shitty platformer. And I was like,
how old are these people, Cam, roughly?
Probably about mid-20s.
Mid-20s. How much sex do you reckon these people have had?
Not mid-20s, that's for sure.
No, not mid-20s, yeah. I was going to say, do you mean with other women or with each other?
20 minutes consecutively across their whole lives.
Probably, exactly. I don't think by their physical forms allowed them to look down and see their own penis.
Right, so they were...
Yeah. It may have dropped off for all they know. But anyway, the other thing that really, really got me was, you know, one of the guys, one of these fat bastards, had his back turned to me, so he was facing in the opposite direction to the way the queue was going, and he kept kind of rocking back and forth, and as he rocked back and forth, he kept bumping into my shoulders. And part of me was there going, the first time it happened and kind of was jolted forward, I kind of went, right, okay, that was probably accidental. The fifth time it happened, I was ready to punch the guy. So, basically, this queue is not going down any. And then eventually, there's one guy, to be fair, the lassie that was behind the counter, you know, not man on one of the tills, she went and actually got, like, the disc of Kane and Lynch 2 for me, so I didn't, someone didn't have to go to the back and get it for me.
Oh, they did that at Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. So it speeded up a little bit. But then, like, there's a queue, space at the queue, like suddenly one little kidlet manages to put down the deposit for the 3DS, having traded in 500 PS2 games or something. And then I'm kind of just about to put my foot forward when there's a little granny come in with like her little grandson, and they've just walked in the door, and they don't obviously see the mile-long queue snaking at the other side of the counter. So they attempt to kind of enter the counter, you know, walk to the counter that I'm about to occupy, and the idiot nearly serves them. And I'm there kind of stopping dead going, whoa, 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 until this manageress lassie kind of goes, oh no, can you, you know, excuse me a minute, Dave, we'll call him Dave for want of a better name. And she's kind of going, can
that
you,
is
can
the
you,
worst
you,
name
you know,
though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, I was like, she, you know, this granny, to be fair, we kind of went, oh, I'm really sorry, and all this kind of stuff, and kind of backed off a bit and went to the back of the queue with her sproglet, she's got a grandson. And in the meantime, whilst this, like, this has happened, two fat bastards behind me have kind of skipped the queue and tried to get ahead of me. And I had a falling down moment.
Oh, come on. If that was me, I would have went fucking off it,
I kind of did.
Good, well done, I'm proud of you.
I kind of looked at them. I looked at them in the middle of this shop when it was really, really busy on a lunchtime, on like on a Thursday, I kind of loudly went, "Oi!" And they turned to me and I kind of went, see that person whose personal space you've been invading for the last 10 minutes, idiot. That would be mine. That would mean I'm ahead of you in the queue. And they kind of went, oh, I'm really sorry. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you best be. And so I kind of just walked to the front and went, can I have Kane and Lynch 2, please? She's already got the disc. And this fella behind the counter starts, you know, says, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, not a problem. Starts then, while he's serving me, talking to his mate. So he's kind of there, I've got, you know, I'm holding my card for like 2 minutes in front of him, and it takes him 2 minutes to take it because he's giggling along with his mate. I finally take payment, and rather than hand me the bag with like my copy of Kane Lynch 2 in, he just kind of slaps it on the counter on the other side of the till. I have to actually physically look for it and go, where's the bag? Where's the bag? Where's the bag? Oh, there it is. There it is. So yeah, game in Carlisle that afternoon, shite. If you were the two fat bastards that were behind me buying DJ Hero with the Dex on the 360, a copy apiece, 1 and 2, I hate you and I want you and your families to die.
Wow.
Anyway, Will, you had a bad experience. I feel better now I've got that out. I feel better.
I've got 2 points, okay? One of them's a bad experience I had at Christmas. It's not really a really bad experience or anything. It's just a stupid little thing, but it just shows you how inept the staff there are. Just before Christmas, me and Susie are in game and they had Kinect set up. They had the Wii TV over their staff room door and Kinect sitting there, and it was Kinect Bowling that was running. And I've never played this game, so apparently, you know, you just walked up to it and it instantly recognised you and you could play, and I thought, that's cool. So I did the waving hand thing and I got a new game started, and my wife was with me and I was bowling away, and I got, you know, a three in a row, four in a row, five in a row, all strikes, okay? And I'm thinking, okay, this is obviously too easy. It's kind of fun. It plays okay, actually. I still think the Wii bowling's better. It's nice to have a controller to release. But
oh, I like the Wii bowling.
Yeah, it's fun. But this is okay. Yeah. But then, long story short, I bowled a perfect game, okay? And
your first time of playing this game?
First time playing it in a shop,
And you just bowled a perfect game on your first time playing.
Exactly, right? No calibration or nothing. Now, I'm not bragging. I was annoyed. I was thinking to myself, well, obviously this has been set to easy mode or something, you know what I mean? Obviously, because the game's not going to be that shallow. But I'd like to find out, because I mean, I'm considering possibly buying Kinect at some point. You know, I'm a gamer, and there's nothing on it I want right now, but maybe in the future I'll buy it. This is probably the game I would get with it. So I asked every member staff, is this on easy mode or something? Is this the normal mode? Is this the normal game mode? They couldn't tell me. They had no clue. None of them had any idea. They're like, oh, you got a perfect game. Well done, mate. Aye, do you want to buy that just now? It's like, no, I don't want to buy it. If anything, that perfect game is making me want to buy it less. Do you understand? And I know it's really casual, but that can't be right. There must be a mode where you can't fucking miss or something, because towards the end I was doing all sorts with my hands, you know what I mean? I was just throwing it any old way, and it was knocking them down each time, and I thought, it's like it's just an animation, and I thought, no, it can't be the game's fault. It must just be very basic mode or something for kids, and then no one could tell me, not a single person could tell me, and that was a little bit annoying. And
with a side job,
yeah, that's just a bit stupid, you know. But the thing that really caught my eye this week was a bit of news about Game. I don't know if you guys have read this, that Game are now going to be taking pre-orders on pre-owned games.
What?
Did you hear that correctly? Pre-orders on pre-owned games.
Yeah. So what? When a copy comes into store, they'll just alert you.
Basically, you can pre-order a game that's not out yet to buy pre-owned on the day of release for a couple of quid less.
How's that work out?
I don't know. It's always been that weird, shady grey area of those shops, Game. And I got to say, GameStation are just as bad, but they're not quite just as bad. It's like they are the same company. They seem to have clung on to a tiny semblance of what they once were. I know it's bizarre because the game just seemed that little bit more corporate, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
The games they're listing are Crysis 2, Homefront, Dragon Age 2, Shift 2, Unleashed, and Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12. Games aren't out yet. These are the sort of the 8 titles that they're planning to do this for, and they're starting it now. And you'll be able to save a few quid on the games if you pre-order them to get them. So they must have an equation written up for exactly how many games will get traded in. If you're ever going into a shop to buy a game on the day of release and there's no new copies, only pre-owned copies that are actually a couple of quid dearer, you know, the ubiquitous $42.99 or $42.50 when it should be $39.99. It leads me to wonder about the 3DS, being that Game initially listed it at $239, which is the unofficial RRP, and they've had to drop their price to $199. Obviously, the pre-orders are going to fly off the shelves like hotcakes. What are the chances that it's going to be on the shelf the day after release for more than $239? Certainly more than $199.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They love to gouge you on the pre-owned price occasionally. Like, Rock Band 2 is a perfect example. That game never went below $39.99 for years, pre-owned. The same price as it would have been new. But this pre-ordering games pre-owned seems like such a step in the wrong direction. And actually, the way I see it is these shops are on borrowed time, big time. They're relying on pre-owned more and more every year to the detriment of the overall industry. And I'm not criticizing that, because I love buying second-hand games. I feel if you buy a game, it's totally your right what you do with it. You sell it on, great. And I know you guys have talked at length about all this, the protections that Ubisoft and Activision have put into games to...
So you had that problem, Tom, didn't you, last time with your second-hand game? Oh, you got to pay for your online game.
I talked about that about Dragon Age as well, and obviously Dragon Age was a bad example, because you're running through a mission and then you bump into a guy and he'd say, oh, do you want to go and find this sword in a tower? You have to pay money right now to do that. And... The cost of the DLC for that game was enormous, and of course a lot of it was available on day one, which I think is a big mistake as well, but I just don't see how this would work. I don't see who it appeals to. Why would you want to buy a second-hand game on day of release for a couple of quid less? It just seems silly, and I just don't know who is this appealing to? Who is the market audience for this?
Just people who think they're getting... Because you get people out there who, you know, don't buy games often, who will probably think they're getting a cracking deal by buying a second-hand game. You know, it would be virtually... unused anyway, because it's only been out a
couple
of
years. So you think this is something that'll be sold to them at the till? Like, are you interested in buying Dragon Age 2? If you pre-order a pre-owned copy, you'll get it for $37.99 instead of $39.99.
Yeah.
Just seems totally unnecessary to me.
This is one thing I just ask. If it's on day release, how is it technically have to be in play beforehand. Are these?
I imagine it'll be the ones. It'll be the ones that the staff have taken home on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, and then played to death, and then bring back on the Friday.
But surely, on that logic, there can only be maybe four or five copies at most. Yeah. So, how can they guarantee you a second-hand copy on day of release? Are they only going to take five orders? Or is it going to be like my Raw versus SmackDown story, where they just keep taking orders regardless on how many copies they got in and just disappoint?
I honestly don't know how they do it, because I mean, quite often on day of release, they've got a lot of pre-owned copies of new games. I don't know where they come from and how they do it, quite honestly. It's some hocus pocus going on behind the scenes at game.
Could this is cynical of me, could this just be a slight rouge? And they're not really second-hand copies at all, just in the back opening them up because they're guaranteed sales. People are more likely to come forward to buy them if they're cheaper.
That's very possible, actually. I mean, what do they really need to do to say it's pre-owned? I mean, actually, by opening up a game and making it pre-owned might actually be more profitable for them, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's just nuts, really. I've seen the other thing that Gamer are apparently doing now, getting well into this topic here. They're apparently allowing you, get this, apparently in a couple of months, you can go in, buy a card, pay for a card with like the relevant amount of Microsoft points or PSN network or whatever, or having a scratch off code at the back to buy like downloadable games.
Yeah, that's something that the publishers agreed to do, isn't it? To throw them a bone.
Brand new games, or?
Yeah, well, you know how at the moment you go in, you get like a scratch card. You can scratch off the back, put the code in, you get Microsoft points.
Yeah, I've done that.
It'll be the same idea, but it'll just direct you to, it'll pay for one game. So, like, you'll get a card to buy, like, well, you say a good example, Braid. You'll get a good, you know, you'll get a card with a little Braid picture on, you'll pay your £10 or whatever, you'll go home, type in the code, and it'll automatically download Braid for you.
Yeah, it's maybe for people who can't figure out the online stores.
Yeah.
Let's face it, it's not that complicated.
Well, I don't know if you guys have got PS3s, but that one is pretty complicated, I assure you.
I had me old, it was a whole SmackDown thing, wasn't it? All the Xbox SmackDown vs. Raw games are under S for SmackDown vs. Raw. I think it's like 7, 8, 9 or something. And then I wanted to try and find 11. Could I find it? No, because that's listed under WWE SmackDown vs. Raw. What logic is it to put all the same games in one bit and then the brand new one in a totally different section? I mean, what logic is that? Would they do it with FIFA? Would they have all the FIFA and the S and then the other one under, I don't know, a different letter that I can't think of?
Yeah, I know, just
I don't know, I think of a funny joke for us.
It's time to play the countdown game again. C!
No, but I was looking, kind of thinking, surely the point in downloadable games and the Xbox Live Arcade and PSN and stuff like that is that you avoid going into these places and having to face the fucking dunderhead idiots behind the counter.
And the fat people behind you in the queue.
And the fat people ramming into you behind the queue, invading your personal space on a regular basis, buying DJ Hero 1 and 2 on the Xbox. I hate you and I want your family to die. But surely it's to avoid all that. You don't want to go into a game to buy a game that you can bloody download. It just seems absolutely backwards and them clinging on to some last vestige of what
it's
they are.
It's just them trying to stay in business. I don't think they've got a future. I really don't. We all know it's going to be fully digital eventually, isn't it? I mean, that...
I'd say with the next generation of consoles.
Yeah, I mean, I know that no one wants to announce it. They're all loath to launch it because, you know, not everyone can get internet yet. I get that. But that's where they want to go. That's where they want to be. And there's no future for the high street for selling games when that happens.
No. Bear in mind.
For me, hard copies are still what I want to do. I know it'll go to the point where I'm...
Well, there's definitely advantages. I like owning a game. I like being able to swap it. I like being able to share it. I like being able to sell it on if I so need to. I like to be able to do all that stuff. But that doesn't change the fact that that's where they're going with it, I think, in the future.
Because that might be that's another thing they'll cash in on, is there's no lending games if it's downloaded on, is it? You've got to swap consoles or something like that.
Yeah, just be swapping files, like.
But then Assassin's Creed 2, for instance, I mean, that game you can buy for about 12, 13 quid now. But if you want to buy it on Xbox Live Arcade, it's going to cost you $39.99. It's just madness.
Oh, the Xbox, the games on demand service is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, there's no bricks and mortar cost. Why are they charging that much? It's silly.
Yeah, it's like when you used to see games advertising like the bloody catalogue and this kind of stuff that, you know, your mum used to have. It's like, oh yeah, well, here's a game on the Super Nintendo for £75. It's like, what?
How many people get home to the pub drunk though and go, oh fucking yeah, Assassin's Creed 2, credit card, yep, in the numbers, done.
$39.99, yep, not a problem, yep, download all that 6 gig worth of that.
It's the stuff like Saints Row and Saints Row 2 still being on there for like £20, £19.99.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That bothers me. It's the really the titles that weren't huge when they were released certainly aren't the AAA titles still being on there for £20. £20 seems to be their minimum price, although I think they're dropping.
Mass Effect is £19.99, which is worth every penny, but you can get it for a fiver.
I got it for a tenner about two
years
ago.
Yeah, actually, the first game I bought for my Xbox, and I bought it for a tenner. But, I mean, that was 3 years ago. But, I mean, it's worth £20. It's a great game, but, I mean, that's just still grossly overpriced.
Yeah, exactly. I love the way they were celebrating this month because Bioshock 2 on Games On Demand has gone down to £15. I like Bioshock 2 went down to about £15 a month after it was released physically.
Yeah, that's sort of more the area they need to be in, though, isn't it, to be competitive on that sort of side of things.
Yeah. I think the Games On Demand thing will make a lot more sense if you could pay on your credit card like a pre-order for a game that's coming out like on a Friday and on midnight on a Friday night, midnight and a Thursday night, you could download it straight off
rather than go to the shop on a cold winter's evening.
Yeah, so if you wanted to play it, you could just switch on your Xbox at midnight on the Thursday and it would start downloading your Friday new release on your hard drive directly, so by Friday morning you could just play it.
Yeah, I can see people being attracted to that.
I think that's a good
idea.
But
people like to trade in their games, so those people aren't going to buy it.
Well, that would be the second-hand industry done then as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Except for in the retro side, of course, so hopefully these more little emporiums will pop up all over the place selling GameCube games and whatnot. I think we can all agree, though, that pretty much every gamer I know hates game. That's a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
When it starts to put every sort of gamer that you know of hates the number one game retailer in the
country. Let's be honest, guys. How many of us actually buy games from Game regularly? I do. I actually do. I buy second-hand games from there a lot. And sometimes I buy new first-party Nintendo titles because they come with a free t-shirt and things. I can't help myself. As much as I hate game, I still give them a lot of my money regularly.
I must admit, I went into game just randomly to buy points, even though I know you can do points at home. I don't know why, I just thought I'd go and buy points from game. But they do have that rewards card, which got us £2.50 off, so I got me Microsoft points for £15.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a little surprise, I wasn't expecting to get it off. The guy just goes, oh, you got so much on it. I thought, oh, I'll just take it off.
Mine's worthless because I buy mostly pre-owned stuff from them, so.
Aye. No, that's, I'll go in sometimes, I've got something to trade. Then I'll go into game because it's right, as we said before, it's right around the corner from our work. But if it's just something I want to buy sort of for a price new, then I'll probably just buy it off like Amazon or something.
There's a building in Glasgow that has three games under the same roof.
St
Enoch Centre. It's got a Hamleys in it, which has a game section.
Oh, right, so it does.
It's got
its
own game downstairs, the worst game in Glasgow, and it's also got one in Debenhams, which is part of the same building.
Oh, we used to have one in Debenhams here, but we haven't anymore.
Do they not close all the Debenhams ones?
No, ours are still open. That's overkill right there. That is overkill.
It is overkill.
I was working in that centre last week, actually.
Were you working for our company?
I was working for your company. And
yours.
And mine as well.
Unless you've been sacked this morning.
I only passed one game, but I wasn't looking for them. I do agree with you. That's very overkill. And I presume there'll be more in the galleries up the road.
There's another one in the galleries.
There's one in Buchanan Galleries. There's two in Buchanan Galleries.
There's about seven in the city centre of Glasgow, not to mention the game stations, the HMVs. And then you've got the lovely GeForce, which is like a lovely little...
I like GeForce,
you guys know GeForce.
Oh, GeForce is lovely.
But it's just a bit pricey. I mean, I hate to say it, it's a great wee shop, but it's...
When we went to GeForce last year after ConCon, I originally thought, that it was all right, it was quite reasonably priced, but then when we got there, it was it's actually quite sort of... There's not really any savings to be had.
Not really, no. They do sell the games that no one else will sell. The weirder titles that come from Japan and things like that they just don't stop.
Aye.
They do sell that stuff. And if you're wanting to get hold of a game like Bajengai or A-Train or something a bit strange, they'll sell them. And that's the cool thing. If you're a real connoisseur of the interesting game, they sell them.
Yeah. I bought Electroplankton on the DS from GeForce.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, right enough.
There's an interesting and babbling fact, but here you go. Right. Well, that leads us to a healthy conclusion on us slagging off game retailers the countrywide. You two fat bastards, buying DJ Hero 1 and 2 on the Xbox, I want your families to die.
But it's a bit unfair on the families, because they probably didn't want that sort of children,
No, they raised them that way.
All right, then.
As of last month, we killed off the soapbox because any person we wanted to get in for a different voice from us three or four was usually a guest anyway now because we used the magic of Skype. So we have replaced the soapbox with a little bit of new technology that we'd like to call Dr. Robotnik's Random Game Topic Generator, which Tom is holding currently in his hands. It's not an empty bag of sweets at all to make a sound effect in any way. So, hit it away, and Dr. Robotnik's Random Game Topic Generator will pick a topic for us to talk about.
All the fours, 44.
And... is it a C? No. And Dr. Robotnik's Random Game Topic Generator, which you will be putting a nice futuristic sound effect on that, surely, won't you? No. Is games you've bought almost by accident that turned out to be shite. I.e. what we're thinking of is games you maybe thought they were good, you maybe looked at them on the shelf, you maybe thought, yeah, I'll take a punt on this, and they turned out to be absolutely fucking disastrous. Can I start? At one point in my young and youthful life, I decided that it would be a great idea to go into Beatty's in Carlisle and buy Big Hurt Baseball on the Super Nintendo. Had I watched baseball? No. Did I like baseball? No. Had I ever played baseball? No.
Did you enjoy the game, Cameron?
No. Because I had the overwhelming feeling of, isn't this just Rounders? And it was just beyond me. I have still to this day, no, I must have spent about 30 quid on this crap, and I've no, exactly, yeah, look at me with that face. Because it took me just like, you know, I was like, I distinctly remember going, oh yeah, that'll be interesting, baseball, yeah, it'll be fantastic, it'll be great. I enjoy me a bit of baseball, what? And then it was like, so, when I say so American, I know that sounds really, really obvious, but you know how Americans like to load their sports with lots of stats and statistics that all have 0.108 in them or something like that for, you know, such and such percentage of whatever rebounds. And it's just like, that's all it had. And it was just awful. And it was just a trudge. And every single game was just watching this. It was basically a kind of test to see if you could just strike the A button in time with the ball came towards you. And that
sounds
was it.
Dying.
Or just move the D-pad so you could have like a fielder out there to like catch. Like, and that was it. It was atrociously poor, and I hated it. And I looked at it with deep, deep regret and sadness, and it's probably up in an attic somewhere. Aflame. I hate it, and I want its family to die. Who next?
I'll go next.
Go on.
I have two.
Go on.
One of which you'll be able to back me up on, because you played it with me.
Okay.
Firstly, I made what I now realise to be the mistake of, in 2002, 2003, buying Final Fantasy X-2.
Mm.
Yeah, I've not hidden my like for the
JRPG. No, you love a bit of Final Fantasy.
I do love a bit of Final Fantasy. And others. You know, I have a cupboard full of Square Enix games.
Yes.
That I've yet to play, granted, but I will. But yeah, after Final Fantasy X, which was, well, it's one of the better modern Final Fantasies, really. I expected something at least semi-decent. And I got the single worst game I've played to date.
What was so majorly wrong with it?
Final Fantasy X was good, yeah. The main character... Are we out of the range of spoilers? Main character from Final Fantasy X, the Summoner. She went on to meet another girl who had a gun thing going on. A bit like a pseudo Bayonetta, but before Bayonetta.
Sounds like my last girlfriend.
And then one of the other characters, Riku, from Final Fantasy X, who was the annoying, cutesy girl. But yeah, she'd gone on from being a summoner in Final Fantasy X to being a fucking pop star.
Right.
And then it just went all into this girly... Again, there's no sexism involved here, but it just went into this girly, prancy shite. It took it from being a good RPG to being... Right. It was just dire. It was really bad. I went and traded it in for Soul Calibur 2 about 2 hours after I
2 hours?
Bought it, took it home, played it, realised how bad it was, and took it straight back.
What a record.
Yeah, absolutely the fastest time I've ever traded anything.
Alright, and your second one?
Well, can I just say as well,
go on.
This is going to make me sound like a tit as well, based on that experience. Not that I don't sound like a tit already. I've pre-ordered Final Fantasy XIII too. Which, based on track history of Dash 2 after Final Fantasy games, I probably shouldn't have done, but I'll give it a try. It'll probably end up getting traded quite quickly too.
Oh, it lasts more than 2 hours. It's going well, isn't it?
This is true. The other one is the Ashes Cricket from 2009. Oh. Do you remember this? When you came round the house?
I must say.
Oh,
and
God,
you and I
yeah.
tried to play this, what we expected to be fairly similar to the old.
And you and Paula were sitting there trying to say that cricket was really easy to understand.
Yeah.
And we were both thick for not being able to work out what was going on.
We felt like retards that night.
We
didn't
felt
we?
Like absolute morons. We're just sitting there going, what the fuck is this?
But, you know, it was reasonably priced.
Mm-hmm.
That got traded too. But it was reasonably priced, and I expected it to be in some way like the Brian Lara cricket games from the 90s.
Yeah.
Which were easy to play.
Yeah.
You know? And then, yeah, you got this highly technical. Well, even the tutorials, we couldn't get past the tutorial to have a proper match.
It was just awful. Yeah, I remember that.
It was like you said, it was all stats, and you have to do it this way, and the ball has to be bowled in a particular way, and then you have to hit it on the offside, and it's got to go.
And your super silly mid on.
Hmm?
Your super silly mid on.
It was terrible, wasn't it?
It's awful.
Awful.
Terrible. Shocking. Shocking game. Shocking game. Alan!
Okay, right. Mine is a game I don't know if you're familiar with for the PS1 in about 95 called Lone Soldier.
Lone Soldier?
Anyone familiar
never,
with it?
Never heard of
it. I can see the front cover of it. I can see it. Yeah, I think I know the one you mean. I can see it.
It's a shooter. It's a shooter game. You're like third person, like behind view, and he's running and shooting. And I bought that on a whim because I liked the front cover.
Yeah.
And it had a shooting game, and I paid 40 quid for it and bought it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a silly part. I quite enjoyed it, right?
Right.
And I think I thought it was quite a good game, but this is the sort of snobbing me coming out here, right?
Go ahead.
Games Master reviewed it on the telly.
Oh, I
see where this is
basically
going.
Pulled at the pieces.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, right, I'm not having this in my house now. So I took it back to Toys R Us, pretended it was faulty, and got me money back.
You sly old dog.
So, yeah. So yes. And then this is quite funny as well. Talk. Years later, it came to haunt me, because the company that we worked for, we mentioned before.
Yes, the company.
On my induction day, with all different people throughout the country,
yeah.
One guy was a programmer on that game. That's the only game he's ever worked on, ever. And he said, you know, we had to do an introduction thing around the circle, and it went, claim to fame was, well, I once helped make the computer game. That's all he said, and I was curious.
I bet your mind was racing.
I was curious, so I went and asked him. Afterwards. He said, oh, it was a shite game. It was called Lone Soldier. I was like, I had that. I don't think he believed I bought it. But yeah, I had that. And
he's just looking at you going, it was you.
And then this is the best part. Just out of like coincidence, we were looking around town in Stockport. We had nothing else to do. And a second-hand shop there. On the shelf. What would be on the shelf in the second-hand shop?
Oh, God.
For the copy of Lone Soldier. So I opened the box up with the instruction book and started leafing through it for his name, and sure enough, there was his name in the instruction booklet. It was Jason something, I can't remember the surname now, but yes, that was my story of Lone Soldier.
Right. Oh, God. Yeah, I can remember, I can just vaguely remember it. I only remember the front cover.
But yeah, like I said, to be fair, I quite enjoyed it until Games Master came on and slated it.
Was it not one of those horrible PS1 games that originally came in like a cardboard box?
Don't think so. Certainly the copy I had wasn't cardboard anyway.
Never mind. Will!
Alright, well, I've got two, again, sorry, but
go ahead.
I'll be quick with both of them. First one is a game that Ali actually bought. We used to sort of share a room when we were kids, and we, you know, he bought a game from a petrol station in Uig. It was like $4.99 PS1 game, and the PS2 hadn't been out long by that point, and it was called Hidden and Dangerous. And it was, it's seen as being like a pioneering tactical shooter. Only thing was, it was totally unplayable. It was absolutely dreadful. You can ask him. I mean, we tried and tried. We persevered. Couldn't do anything with this game. We could barely move the character. It was just so blocky and atrocious. So that's the first one.
Right.
But the worst thing about that is that actually, if you look it online, it's supposed to be a good game. I think it was a PC game originally.
I can remember the title, but I can't remember.
Well,
the game.
Certainly don't get the PS1 version. It's a disgrace.
No.
The other one's a little bit more interesting. I was probably about 12, 13 years old, and I was in Electronics Boutique in Inverness, the Eastgate Centre, and I had £20 on me. And, you know, and from when you come from Skye, you spend, you know, you used to go to Inverness on a Saturday with your friends to see go to the cinema. And
oh,
stuff,
yeah.
You know, big trek, you know, a few hours in the bus. And I wanted to buy a game, and there's two games I could get for £20. One was Mystic Quest for the SNES, and the other one was Shaq Fu. And I thought Shaq Fu would be a better choice. But the worst part is, I took that home, and me and Ali actually really liked it, because we were dead young, and we didn't have that many games, and we played the fuck out of it, and we thought it was really good. But looking back, that was a terrible game. I mean, it's famously and infamously bad game. The sprites were absolutely tiny, and to make matters worse, it turns out my mate had the Mega Drive version, it had 5 extra characters and like 3 extra levels. SNES version didn't have any of that.
How can the Mega Drive game be better than the SNES game?
I played it on an emulator a few years ago, and it is fucking terrible. The collision detection is a mile long. It's just appalling. And yeah, that was my hard-earned money. But at least I can look back and say that me and Ali were happy with it for a short time. We used to play it. We thought it had really good graphics. Everything had really good graphics when you're that young.
Oh, no.
It was terrible.
No, Adam. I remember there being a big, massive fuss about it at the time, because there was not a lot of motion capture.
Perhaps.
I remember reading some article in Games Master or something about how, you know, Shaquille O'Neal had done all the mocap and all this kind of stuff, and had learnt all these moves for it and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, you're thinking, wow, that's really impressive. And then it was a bundle issue.
It really was a bad game. Bad, bad game. But, you know, what can you do? You don't always buy good ones when you're that age. At least I wasn't. Because, you know, your last £20 on a game, it's travel home for 3 hours, get home and play it, and then to not be able to play it, that would be just appalling. At least we liked it at the time. That's the main thing.
At least you got happy memories,
though,
right?
Yeah, some.
Are those memories worth £20? Would you pay more for Dark Void than those memories?
Yes. Yeah. Dark Void's a really good game. Have you guys played it? No?
Yes.
It's alright, isn't it? It's not bad.
I quite like
it. Yeah, it's alright. It's a bit of fun. All I'm trying to say about Dark Void was it was unfair, like, really harshly treated, I thought. There was worse games going around, but people treated it like it was the worst thing ever.
Was it not like Gears of War with Jetpack?
Yeah, but that's not such a bad thing. I'm not a big fan of Gears of War, but that's not such a bad thing.
No, nor am I.
No.
It was okay. I wouldn't... Worth the fiver.
Yeah, definitely worth the fiver, no question.
Worth the fiver,
I paid £12.
Well, was it worth £12?
Well, I rented it originally, and then I bought it for a fiver or so.
That's even better. Yeah. Indeed, fantastical. I think that concludes the Dr. Robotnik's random game topic generator for this month. It'll be back again next month with the absolute bleeding edge of technology that we have here on Break for Frogger. It's not a bag. Well, that was Break for Frogger Season 2, Episode 3. It's been good fun.
Not quite. I've got a little surprise here.
Oh, Christ.
Cameron, I believe you are 30 tomorrow.
I am.
Wow.
Yes.
And, you know, since you bought me a game for my birthday, I have returned a favour.
All right.
And you know when you said the worst games you've ever received?
Yes.
Well, this possibly may be going top of your list. But...
Yeah.
Here we go, with the best wrapping ever.
Oh, that's awesome wrapping paper,
that's the
Alan.
Best wrapping paper ever. It's Stacey, 21, from Preston. Where did you get this, Alan?
Oh, just you wait to see what shit it did. Just wait until you say that.
There's two tits on the front, and there's Dirk Kuyt of Liverpool on the back, so I'm tempted to say there's 3 tits on this wrapping paper, but never mind.
Oh, George Michael.
And George Michael as well. All right, wake me up before you go. Thanks for that, that's lovely. All right.
Right.
To explain to you gentle listeners
And Will
Alan has just given me for my 30th birthday the PC game Murder, She Wrote.
Nice.
It does have a really bizarre looking Angela Lansbury in the front cover.
Not as bizarre as the one on the back line.
Holy Jesus, you're right, she's all digitised and weird. Alright, 5 all-new murder investigations, 30 beautiful locations to search in the USA and London, and over 80 levels of intriguing puzzles that are intertwined into the plot.
I expect a full review on next month.
Yeah, I will. I'll review this, actually. Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you very much. This is lovely. I can't. I'm going to install this now. You guys
can
go home.
I can't wait to hear about it.
I'll just spin.
I hope it's got the theme song on it.
I fucking hope so as well. I'll be singing along. What is it? Da 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 da. Anyway, right. Well, cheers for that. That's just bizarrely funny, actually.
Congratulations to turning 30 tomorrow, right. Cameron. That's awesome.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Will. Cheers. I'll be with Angela for most of the day at this rate. She's lovely looking in her wallet. She looks quite seductive, actually.
I think that was a younger picture of her, by the way.
That was very much
I'm
a younger
suspicious
picture.
Suspicious of the trench.
You know, where I come from on Sky, we have a lady whose nickname is Murder, She Wrote. Because she used, for 20-odd years, people in the local area used to receive poison pen letters. And when they finally figured out who it was, she left Sky eventually, in shame, I guess, but that was the nickname we gave her.
Right. Maybe it's her on the front cover. But there we go. Right. Well, Will, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Lovely experience. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks for filling in Ewan's shoes at
no
short
problem.
Notice. I'm hoping that Brayhead Clan have actually won and enabled him to, you know, cheer himself along. Anything you wish to... Well, obviously, we've got to plug your pilot show for your comedy
series. If you want. Well,
yeah, go ahead.
It's a wee pilot sitcom that me and my brother did. Out of the Ashes of World's Wildest Dudes. It's available on the Bad Education blog at badeducation.com. And, you know, if you guys want to give it a listen, feedback is welcome because it's a pilot. We're hoping to make a full series of it. And it's just your standard radio sitcom, really, and hopefully people like it.
Good stuff. And you're also, obviously, on Sonic's Ring every week.
Yeah.
Which is sonicsring.com, a rather lovely weekly podcast, which is... comics and TV and films and games
yep.
and stuff. And occasional brayings from Herr Dave.
Yeah, occasional flagellation.
Exactly. If you want to get in touch with Break for Frogger on the email, the address is...
breakforfrogger@gmail.com.
Has anyone emailed us?
Oh, they fuck.
Never mind.
Someone email us, eh?
Someone email us, you bastards. Chris Akabusi, we're waiting.
Angela Lansbury, go on.
if you want to get in touch with me on Twitter or follow me and have my random tweets about writing and like this mostly, then I'm at Cripple H.
I'm at Runaway Bomber for the same sort of stuff and whinings about university.
I'm at Jordy Allen.
I guess I'm at Willsy at DS. I don't whine about university anymore because I'm finished.
Yay! Fully qualified and everything.
Doesn't feel as good as it should.
Right, in which case... does it not? Don't tell Claire that.
I'm waiting for the anticlimax myself.
My girlfriend says that.
Oh, it's been fun, guys.
Oh, Jesus. Right, in which case, we'll say bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Ta-da.